Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Masters Friday. Right now, the guys who are hitting the course and on the range are dealing with rain in Augusta. But according to the weatherman, that's supposed to pass through here in the next few minutes. And it looks like it'll be set up for a day where you're going to be able to throw it right at the pin all day long at Augusta. Should be a fun second round to watch on TV when it comes on. All right, we are talking a lot about some of the headlines in sports. Now, yesterday, the big talker was, if you think your team has problems, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Rashard Mendenhall tweet directed at Ben Roethlisberger talking about, he said, all right, I'll say it, Big Ben's a racist. And that went national fast once it broke, and everybody was weighing in. Every outlet picked it up. And then you had, Hugh, a couple of Steelers, and we're going to get to McFadden in just a moment. But Ramon Foster and Marquise Pouncey coming out saying, everybody's got to stop airing their dirty laundry.
Grievances, yes.
Right, in on social media and in public. Funny that Marquise Pouncey did it, because remember, Marquise Pouncey called out Le'Veon Bell in public.
And they quickly, on Twitter, pointed that out. But I will say this, not defending him, but I think that was at the point where Marquise was mad because Le'Veon was supposed to come back, and he didn't.
He didn't,
so he was feeling some kind of way. Now, again, not defending him, but in that situation, I think that he felt that he was told something that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so then he went and gave it to the public.
Well, we had the advantage of having Brian McFadden, former Steelers player and star, working with us yesterday doing the midday show
Super
with
Bowl
Rod
champion.
Kimble.
Yes.
Yes, and world champion. And so the story breaks at about 9:30 our time, right in front of his show, and he gets on the phone and starts texting with no less than Rashard Mendenhall. And so he's texting back and forth. Now, interesting conversation that we're going to play just a brief snippet from, a couple of minutes. Rob Triple talking to Brian McFadden about what Mendenhall told him and whether or not Bryant saw any racist tendencies in Big Ben. Here's that conversation.
You know, Rashard was a former teammate of mine. We still, you know, have a pretty good relationship. The same could be said for AB, pretty good relationship. I saw AB in December when I was in Pittsburgh. We chopped it up, had a real good relationship then and even to this day. And the same with Ben. So I'm tied to, you know, all parties involved currently. And I had an opportunity to reach out to Rashard, who's currently on the West Coast out in L.A.
You spoke to him and then you started texting him.
Yeah, I spoke with him because, of course, we had to get ready for a show. So I didn't want to be disrespectful to you guys because you're outstanding, you know, teammates. So I text while listening to you guys in the meeting.
Big team, little me, my friend.
But, of course, Rashard was not comfortable coming on just yet, but he said, you know, he doesn't mind, especially this story is still spicy. But he did tweet me some things to read on air. And he informed me that he spoke with AB about a week or so ago. So they had conversations. And I guess throughout those conversations, the entire situation came to light, based on what AB informed Rashard that led to these tweets. These are text messages from Rashard to myself. As a friend of his, AB, I know he's not been himself lately, and where most attribute it to a big ego, I actually think he's hurt from all he's endured, bullying and racism being thrown at him every day online. People only know bits and pieces of what was an internal issue, and whatever transpired is probably still affecting him to the point he's not himself lately. And he said, you know, I don't think that's excuses for the insensitive things he's done. Just feel like there's some context missing. Now, Rob, what do you get from those text messages?
I think he was impulsive. He was emotional. I think he may not have been sober when he did this, because it was 1 a.m., 1:30 out there on the West Coast. I don't think he was just sitting there on the couch watching TV and all of a sudden decided to tweet. Sometimes when you get a little bit of liquor in your system, you're going to kind of get inside your feelings. You're going to get a little maybe mean-spirited with an axe to grind, and you're going to lash out, and I think he lashed out. And I will say this. I know this is your guy, and I don't know the man. But it just seems kind of cowardly that he doesn't want to necessarily come on and answer for what he did, because he smeared someone. He smeared someone. And whether it's deserved or not, I don't know. But when you smear someone and then you retreat, I think that's kind of cowardly in a way.
I also asked Rashad via text, did AB mention something to you about Ben being racist? He said, nah, he didn't really want to go into the situation much, but he seemed bothered by it, whatever it was. Then Rashad texts me. He says, it seems easier to hurl insults and place blame on athletes of color while being quick to protect quarterbacks and players of a certain hue. Whoever is involved in the situation and whatever role they play should be equally regarded.
I don't know. I look at Aaron Rodgers. He was kind of smeared pretty hardly in that Bleacher Report article. The guy, yeah. that really did not speak very highly of Aaron Rodgers, who I think he's of Caucasus.
Yeah.
So I think what he says there isn't necessarily fair, but there might be something to it as well. I mean, I don't know. I don't walk in other people's shoes. I try to be empathetic.
And then he finished the text. He says, I always think it's better to be respectful either way. So based on what he texted,
oh, now he wants to be respectful after smearing somebody?
Now, based on these text messages, I think it's more so, and I don't want to jump to conclusions, Rob, and help me out, but it's like he had a conversation with AB, and I know he's been following this entire ordeal like we all have been. And I think based on the conversation with AB, based on what he believed happened, he feels like everybody's jumping on AB as far as being the bad guy. And I think he's trying to prove a point by throwing a label on an individual, not knowing the bits and pieces is not fair. So it's almost like, did he throw a label on Ben to kind of show to the naysayers it's not cool to throw a label on an individual when you don't know the entire ordeal, right? It kind of seems that way.
No, I think he's trying to make it seem that way after doing it. I think what he did when he said, let's face it, B's racist.
Yeah.
Period. But now he tries to walk it back.
So you're saying the text messages he sent me.
He's spinning now. He's spinning.
Well, I can tell you this much. I will get him on, sooner than later. And he will have an opportunity to really defend himself as far as these tweets and what he is trying to get across. Me personally, I had a relationship with Ben. All parties involved, like I said. Now, my relationship wasn't as consistent.
Sure.
With Ben as AB or Rashad because they played on the offensive side. But I never seen anything racist from Big Ben when I dealt with him.
All right, that was Brian McFadden on the inside talking about saying he never saw anything racist from Big Ben and talking about Rashard Mendenhall's lashing out on Twitter at Ben Roethlisberger, which has created quite a firestorm.
You know, it's funny. Let me tell you the interaction that me and Brian had yesterday, because this is what I was trying to explain to people yesterday. As defenders, we don't really, on a normal, get to interact with quarterbacks much unless it's at practice, and it's more of a situation where it's a high and by thing. That's just how it is. When I asked Brian McFadden about it yesterday, he gave me a look like, what? Like, I was like, is Big Ben a racist? He's like, what? And he had to think about it. But that's from a defensive player's mentality. And as a defender, your interaction with the quarterback, I would venture to say, is the same no matter who the quarterback is, black, white, yellow, green, whatever. They're all cut from a different cloth. They all are individuals that are separate from everybody else. Ben Roethlisberger made that clear when he made the statement that, he's the big dog and everybody else is his children or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that when it comes to quarterbacks. As far as the Rashard Mendenhall AB conversation, it sounds to me that Rashard Mendenhall got information from AB, and instead of giving his perspective of Ben Roethlisberger, he projected what he felt that he heard out there and said, oh, Ben's a racist, by what he was told. That I have a problem with. I have a problem with people throwing labels on people that you don't back up with facts. Because, like you said, you're besmirching a man's name. Now, if you want to say Ben Roethlisberger is a Richard, that's probably true because he's done things in his past to warrant him being called a Richard. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. But to sit out there in this day and age and throw around like racial this and racial that, I think that's not fair unless you do it when you have something that you can back it up with factually. Because now this man has to go out here, Ben Roethlisberger, and defend whether or not he's a racist. And on top of that, when you have to defend whether or not you're a racist, guess what? You're going to be labeled a racist because you're defending yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's an unfortunate situation that he's in now. Do I think Ben Roethlisberger is a bad dude? He might be. He might be. He's a little arrogant, but that's most quarterbacks. But to call a man a racist, I think if you're going to throw that on somebody like that, man, you have to be able to back that up with some facts.
Yes, this is a soap opera, and a lot of people are going to be talking about it still. I'm sure that a number of Steelers are going
to
be asking.
And AB is a little bit of a hypocrite now because he's talking about, like, I know he's trying to defend his boy, but AB threw Juju Smith-Schuster under the bus because he felt some kind of way about him being named the MVP. Now, you cannot say that to me, in my eyes, that's a dirtbag move. To throw your teammate, a former teammate, under the bus like that.
Hey, larger to this, Hugh, now we see what's happening with Pittsburgh, and it's been going on for a while. We have seen lesser examples of the drama within the Steelers in Green Bay with the New York Giants, with some other teams. You know, whereas teams that had drama in the past, say the Dallas Cowboys in their heyday in the 90s, which was pre-social media, have we now entered a new era where this is giving people a Twitter, you know, armament that they didn't have before, and that people are going to now do what Rashard Mendenhall did once their playing days are done and begin to fire out and lash out? Is that going to start being a thing?
It's already been a thing, John. I mean, you look at certain things that have come out in the past with players and former players and things like that. I mean, and I get it. I don't think that most of the time that guys are doing it to get, you know, likes or put their name out there. I think sometimes they're doing it because they're asked a question and they want to answer it. I think that in this case with Rashard Mendenhall, he was feeling some kind of way about his friend feeling some kind of way, and he just lashed out. I feel it was a little bit of that, because when you listen to what he told Brian McFadden, this comes from a place where, say, like me and Daryl talking, and Daryl feels some kind of way about whatever. And I go out and tell Daryl's business from my perspective, say, oh, Daryl's mad because so-and-so did yada, yada, yada. That's not my job to tell. That's not my job to comment on that. That's what it feels like to me that Rashard Mendenhall did. Or you, for example, if you go out, if you tell me something and then I formulate my own opinion, secondhand opinion, I might add, and go say something about somebody else.
Right,
that feels the same thing. Right, that feels the same way.
It's also,
that's not fair.
It's office gossip on a macro scale.
Yes.
Nuclear office gossip. And I get this. We're discussing the impact of the Rashard Mendenhall tweet calling Ben Roethlisberger a racist. You know, and anybody out there, put it in terms, because I know everybody feels this way. Everybody listening to us right now feels this way. Who doesn't want to go on Twitter, and unless you're your own boss, and when you're done with your job, light your boss up or light some coworker up, you know, just because you want to, you know, you want to vent, right? I know that either this job or a job you've had in the past or something, and I know the temptation is there, but boy, as it turns out, it just makes you look bad, and it's going to redound very poorly on you in the future, because your social media is who you are, and as badly as you want to. I mean, there are times I want to go on and argue with people, and I go, you know, it's just not worth it. You know, and I'm not saying call people out, but I want to argue points with people, and I go, you know what? They're coming at my neck, and I go, Hugh, I'm not going to do
speak
it.
For yourself, John.
Big word.
you got a big word for that, redound.
For what?
Redound.
Oh.
Speak for yourself, big freaky.
Let me come back at you.
Hey, speak for yourself. I invited that smoke. You can't gonna say it that you want to on me on Twitter. And I do take the chance of getting in trouble sometimes, but I keep it clean. I don't use cuss words a lot, but I sometimes tend to, you know, I be very creative in the wording that I use. But still, I think it's just reckless to just throw stuff out there.
That's what I'm saying.
And not have anything to back it up with, man. I mean, because this is this man's good name. This is this man's good name, and when it comes to things like that, man, I think it's important, because at the end of the day, as a man, that's the only thing you have is your word and your good name, and to have that being thrown out there about you, and nobody can, you know, back up anything to say that you are one way or another, I just think that's not fair. I really do.
We get ready for the weekend ahead. Going to be a fun weekend ahead. Masters weekend, Masters Friday. A little bit rainy in Augusta right now with Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau sharing the lead, and Phil Mickelson just one shot back, and then guys like DJ in the hunt, John Rahm, Adam Scott, and you have Tiger at 2-under. Leaderboard looks pretty solid right now, and if we get a big-name leaderboard, even though didn't you used to be Jordan Spieth is trailing and Ricky Fowler is struggling a little bit, and some guys like Paul Casey fell off the map yesterday, which is, by the way, kind of an interesting story. It's difficult for Brooks Koepka, was playing with Jordan Spieth, who was 3-over, and playing with Paul Casey, who's 9-over. That's not easy to do when guys around you are putting it in the other direction. This hour of the program is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. As we continue, we'll talk a little Braves and update you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's shot score!
Are back in action.
As they kick off season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on this Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Lace up your sneakers, people, and join me, Hugh Douglas, on Saturday. That's this Saturday, April 13th, for the 40th Sickle Cell Road Race and Walk in the city of East Point. The race is a charitable event with the proceeds supporting Camp New Hope and other services of Sickle Cell Foundation of Georgia. For more information, go to sicklecellrace.com. That's sicklecellrace.com.
We've been having fun discussions this morning involving a couple of different things. If you missed our discussion about Ozzie Albies and the impact of his new contract, we have posted that discussion up on our website at 929thegame.com. You can go to the on-demand and listen to that discussion. You can also check out, if you missed it, Pete Prisco's interview where he talked about what the Falcons will, in fact, do at 14 and what he thinks will happen with Arizona Kyler Murray in the number one pick. It's not what you expect. So really interesting stuff from Pete Prisco, and that's on our website on all that great on-demand content for anything you missed from any of the shows, from Dukes and Bell, Middays, Us, Bunker Mentality, always posted on the on-demand segment of 929thegame.com. Great way to, just plug it into your phone, too, and then you could just stick your headphones in and you can podcast it, all right. We also have a Twitter vote going on right now. We were asking earlier today, because of the Masters, whether or not you would like to win a green jacket and what individual award, and of course we are only limited to four, as we know, but what individual sports honor would you like to win the most if you could only win one? Would you win a gold medal? Would you win a Heisman Trophy? Would you win the MVP title of your league? Or would you win a green jacket? And 39% so far saying they would win the green jacket, 29% saying a gold medal, 19% saying an MVP, only 13% saying the Heisman Trophy, which sort of surprises me, Hugh, given that the Heisman Trophy around here, this is the mecca of college football.
Yeah, you would think. But for me, John, it has to be the green jacket. Definitely do the green jacket. That would be the one that I would want to get my hands on, the coveted green jacket.
Yeah, because there's a lot you can do with a green jacket. Now, yes. A couple of interesting things. Did you know this, that when you win the green jacket, when anybody wins it, like Patrick Reed last year, Patrick Reed wore the green jacket after he won. He wore it all year long. He had it in his possession. And when he showed up at Augusta, guess what he had to do? He had to give it back. You get to wear it for a year, and then it gets hung up permanently.
Oh, okay,
get it after a year. Whenever you wear it until that ceremony in the butler cabin where you're wearing the green jacket, and you give the new green jacket to green jacket guy, when that's all over, you have to give it back, and it stays. Now, you can wear it whenever you come to the club.
Yeah, but it has to stay at the club.
But it's got to stay at the club permanently.
That's fine.
You don't get to take it home. You get it for a year, and then it's got to go home. It's got to go to the club permanently. Just interesting little, unless they've changed the rule. I just remember doing some Masters fun trivia back in the day, and that was always the rule in regards to how you had to deal with the green jacket. But that doesn't mean that because if you were taking people to the club, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to show up 15 minutes early, go down to your locker because you have a permanent locker.
Snatch that jacket up.
Snatch that jacket up, and then walk up and say, "Hey, how you doing? Wear that green jacket." Good.
Definitely doing that.
Reminding everybody of your picture on the wall and that green jacket of just who you is. The second round of the Masters underway. Patton Kizzire, only person in the top 10 or 11 that's on the course at the moment. He is even through three holes, and we had some early rain that looks like it's moving out of the way of Augusta, and it looks like it's going to be a fine day. It could be another low-scoring day. The leaders tee off in and around 11 o'clock. Bryson DeChambeau at 6-under at 10:43, Phil Mickelson at 5-under at 10:53, and Brooks Koepka at 6-under at 11:04. Tiger will tee off later on today. He tees off at 1:49, just ahead of Ricky Fowler. Both of those players are at 2-under par and 4 strokes back. So primetime coverage today on ESPN of Tiger Woods Ricky Fowler and others. And if you want to watch the early groups, the only way that I could find yesterday is you can watch them, but you have to go to the Masters app, okay? And on the Masters app, you can go to feature groups and you can watch DeChambeau or Koepka or Mickelson early. And if you're lucky, Hugh, one of the cool things we could do with our app is that we could take it and off our phone, mirror it to our smart TV, hit the mirror function, and so we watch it on our TV.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah, you can just hit you mirror your phone to your smart TV, and it's called mirror, and you hit the little mirror button and pop full screen.
My phone is not it's afraid of a commitment, so we ain't about to do all that. My phone ain't marrying nobody. I ain't getting married. My phone ain't getting married. Daryl just called me an idiot.
How about you just, you know what, do this.
He just called me an idiot.
Get engaged for a day. And you can get divorced tomorrow.
No, I'm not marrying my phone to nothing. We ain't getting married to nobody. Nothing. I know I'm ridiculous. Okay. It's okay. It's okay, though. It's okay.
Braves tonight tried to get back at the Mets after losing to them 6-3 last night. Lost in all of the hullabaloo about Ozzie Albies and the contract and the fact that they didn't win the game is the fact that Ronald Acuna hit a 7,000-foot home run. I don't know this for a fact, but Chip Carey said he hasn't seen anybody hit one to the concourse, so it's probably the longest home run hit by a right-hander. 462 feet on the tape measure. That is a blast. It's also the third straight game Ronald Acuna has hit a home run in. He's homered in his last three games in a row. Huey's going tonight for four games in a row for a home run streak.
Yeah, man, you're talking about a guy who is now starting to look like he's getting comfortable hitting in that four spot. I mean, you know, a lot of people talked about, you know, he had a mini slump after he signed his big deal for $100 million. And then he had, he had a little slump. Now he's hitting. He's hitting pretty good right now.
Now, I don't know what the record is for consecutive games for home runs. I probably have to look it up.
Did I undersell that a little bit? Pretty good.
Yeah.
No, he's hitting phenomenal. Let me go ahead and pull that back.
Right.
He's
also
phenomenal right now.
A triple to deep center that if he pulls in any way is also a home run. Way back in the day, CNN sent me to Texas, back to Old Texas Stadium, Don Mattingly, to cover a story about Don Mattingly going for nine games in a row with a home run. He had homered in eight straight games, and he didn't in that game. He had a double in that game. I remember that, so I know that it's at least eight games in a row. It's still eight, and Griffey did it, Mattingly and Griffey, the two. What year was the Mattingly? Because that was a long time ago when I got sent there. 85? 87? Whew, man, Dondo. And you don't think of Mattingly as a home run hitter, but he had homered in eight straight games. So Acuna, three. The record's eight, so maybe he gets halfway there tonight. Now we got to get Ozzie Albies to warm up because – even if the contract is grossly underpaid and all the reaction, Hugh, is, oh, this is a steal, it's gross underpayment, la, 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 la. He is not at the moment living up to the $5 million deal that he got because he got to start hitting.
Wait a minute. Ozzie Albies?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Didn't he just sign yesterday?
Okay. Yes. He's
okay. I mean,
the way he's played this year is not – he's not a $5 million guy so far this season. Let's play like that.
Okay. I mean, how many – what, nine games?
12, but I mean, okay. You're going to have to live up to the deal now.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay.
I'm just saying you got to live up to the deal.
You're right, you do, you do. $35 million deal, yeah. You got to live up to that, yeah. No, yeah, you do. I don't know how to respond to that, John. I mean, it just feels like it just feels like every time somebody gets somebody in their pocket, like they have to produce. Like,
yeah.
It's
yes. Hey, wait. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
A Double X hauls you in the office and gives you 10 times the amount of money for your job, like we just did.
Mm-hmm. Is it guaranteed money?
Yep.
You can't really tell me too much after my money's guaranteed.
Well, are you done?
I'm just saying.
Are you not going to step your game
if
up?
Listen, I'm just saying that I hope he's not listening because I don't want you to take this the wrong way. But if you give me a guaranteed contract and then tell me to do something, I'm going to probably look at you sideways, knowing that my money is guaranteed. And that whatever you decide to do after that point, you're going to have to pay me. I'm going to do it when I do it because my money's guaranteed. Now, I can't do that now. I'm just saying, we're just hypothetical. So, Terry, if you're listening, this is just a hypothetical. This is a hypothetical. But if you give me a guaranteed contract, brother, you better go ahead and back up off me talking crazy now. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you when you get it.
Daryl's looking for a shovel in there.
No, I know he's looking for it. But you asked me a question, and I'm giving you an honest answer because – And you know what it is? I guess because my mentality is that of a football player. And football players' contracts aren't guaranteed. So when I hear this money that's being thrown around, yes, he's probably grossly underpaid. No question about that. But that's $35 million guaranteed. Like, no matter what happens to me, I am guaranteed to get that $35 million. Mm-hmm. God forbid anything happens to Ozzie Albies. Ozzie Albies is going to go back to wherever he wants to live, and every month, every week, biweekly, however they got it set up, if he doesn't play another game, he's going to his mailbox, and it's going to be like Christmas for however he has his payment plan set up for at least 7 years. It's going to be like Christmas. I look at that, and I understand where people are coming from, and that has not been my argument as far as, you know, whether or not he got the money that he deserved or whatever. That's not my argument. That is 35 guaranteed million dollars. That's yours, guaranteed. And potentially, if I ball out, to your point, if I step my game up, I could potentially go back to the table in, what, 4 years? Because I got 3 years left on my deal. I can go back to the table in 4 years and tell them, if I'm balling, if you don't give me what I want right now, in 3 years' time, I'm walking.
Except they have two team year. You know the mistake that you could argue?
Seven-year deal,
no,
right?
No. Hang on. The mistake that they may have made is that both of them agreed to not only a seven-year deal, right, but they have two option years after that, and they're both team options. In other words, that might turn out to be, because technically it's a 9-year deal, Hugh.
Yeah, because you got the two options.
Yeah, but they're team options, not yours.
But again, if I'm balling out and I'm going to make it as uncomfortable for you as I possibly can. That's all I'm saying. If I'm balling out and you giving my grand guarantee money, I'm making it uncomfortable for you. But guess what, people? Hey, UFC fans, join me, Hugh Douglas, 92.9 The Game tonight for a meet and greet. From 5 to 7 p.m. at Metro by T-Mobile store located off of Old Norcross Road in Duluth. Former UFC welterweight champion Anthony Pettis will be there signing autographs and taking pictures with fans. Plus, stop by for the chance to win a pair of UFC 236 tickets for Saturday, April 13th at State Farm Arena. Can't speak today. But that's what I'm saying. We talking about guaranteed money and being here. Hey, don't ask me to.
Yeah, I just want to see, you know, I want to see that first half Ozzie. I want to see a little bit more pop. But the good news is we got Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuna here, and those two cornerstone players for a long time. And somebody said, why isn't Dansby getting a deal? Dansby may be saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing it. I'm going to take my chances. It's the weekend ahead. Updates on the Masters and more next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is a gigantic weekend for sports. Braves back at home, trying to even the series with the Mets. And, of course, Augusta underway with round two in action and could be, and we hope we have a spectacular finish on Sunday. And a lot of football this weekend because there are spring games plenty over the next couple of weekends. Lots of big teams have their spring games tomorrow. Georgia State is going to have its spring game at Georgia State Stadium tomorrow. Georgia's will be, of course, on the 20th, Georgia Tech on the 26th. But tomorrow we have Alabama, we have Ohio State, just off the top of my head, Tennessee, Texas, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Michigan, I think. I mean, there's a ton of teams that have their spring games coming up tomorrow. And so we'll get some of the reaction. It'll be the first time we see Tate Martell for the Miami Hurricanes, Justin Fields tomorrow, Hugh, for the Ohio State Buckeyes. First time we'll see them in a Buckeyes uniform.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty weird, man, to see spring ball because, you know, now some of those games are televised on ESPN and whatnot. So it's going to be pretty cool to see. You know, football season is not that far away now. It just feels like I remember as a former player, well, when I was a younger player in college, during that spring ball time, it just felt like after that, it started to roll, and it was the football season here before you knew it.
Well, and for us, it starts a little bit earlier because we are 3 months away from the start of Falcons camp because it's going to be an early Falcons camp because they play their first preseason game, as you know, on August the 1st at the Hall of Fame game. And college football has ramped up its schedule, and it's starting way earlier. Usually it was first week in September. Now they're going to start August the 24th. The 24th of August, Florida against Miami on the 24th of August. And so the college football season is starting really early. And, of course, as we get towards all this news, including the NFL draft, which is just 13 days away now from the NFL draft in Nashville, Tennessee, our draft coverage next week and the week after going to be lots of draft coverage. You can anticipate that. Our draft coverage is going to be brought to you by Northern Tool and Equipment. And that is, of course, leading up to the draft, through the draft, and after the draft. Northern Tool and Equipment is our draft sponsor, and you can take advantage of huge savings at northerntool.com. So if you work with tools, we tell you there's a reason that we're proud to have Northern Tool at northerntool.com joining us for our draft coverage. One quick thing, speaking of football, there's a story this morning that we're not going to have time to get into, but the new pass interference penalty, they're already talking about tweaking it and changing it at the May meeting, because they may tweak it to say that you cannot review pass interference until after the ball is in the air, because all of a sudden they're saying that officials are coming and saying, you know, pass interference can occur 1 yard downfield before the ball is thrown by somebody blocking in the end zone, and that could be, oh, my God.
Yeah, well, they're trying to tighten it up. They're trying to tighten all of it up. Yeah, because, man, this could be potentially what we all thought it was, John, just a messed up deal all the way around.
Yep.
So they're making sure that they have everything is buttoned up so that it can run as smoothly as possible with this trial run for this season coming up.
You know, I saw that Brian put this on the rundown here. It says 9:40 segment, according to 9:45, but 9:40 segment of the show. The final season of Games of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. John, not games. It ain't no games.
Sorry.
It's no games. It's game. Game of Thrones. And it's Grilled Cheese Day. So we're going to have grilled cheeses and Game of Thrones. And it's Game of Thrones nights with the Atlanta Braves.
Games of Thrones night.
Game of Thrones.
The final season of Game of Thrones starts Sunday.
Thank you, John Fricke.
Can John Fricke watch all 67 episodes before then?
I would say that's a big fat no.
I saw I don't know how many episodes I saw last night. I probably saw 25 or 30.
You didn't watch no Game of Thrones last night.
I watched 7 minutes and 41 seconds of Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, Samuel L. Jackson kind of broke it down a little bit.
I know of Jon Snow.
But John.
This is what I know. Jon Snow, Sansa Stark. Okay, I know that. I know that there's some.
Do you want me to help you out or not,
John? But hang on. Just let me tell you what else. I know there's some guy on the throne whose name I can't repeat according to Samuel L. Jackson, because he called him King something that I can't say.
Joffrey?
No.
The King
said,
oh,
this,
I don't know what,
this guy. You'll have to watch
okay,
it.
Okay, can I tell you which episodes you need to watch?
There's some adult language in it.
I don't remember. I know one of them is the War of the Bastards. You need to watch that one. I can say bastards on there? Can I say that?
Well, you just did.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I didn't. You know, it's not me. It's the episode name. And what else? The last episode of the last season. You need to watch that. And you need to watch. I can't even think of the name of the segment. I know the name of the series. Let me do this for you, John Fricke. Why? Listen.
Hey, there is Bryson DeChambeau on the putty green live at Augusta
Wait a
National.
Wait, I got it. It's written down because somebody sent this to me.
Working on his scientific approach to golf.
I got you, John Fricke. Here it is. All right. This is what you need to do. I'm going to give you a couple to watch. Okay. Out of season one, watch episode 1, 2, 9, and 10.
Are you hell?
Those two. You got to watch episode one. Are you writing this down?
Out, apparently.
Like, you got at least 21 hours of television to watch, so you got to figure it out.
1, 2, 9, and 10.
But we're going to condense this for you a little bit. Season 5. We're gonna jump ahead a little bit. Okay. Season 5, episode 8. Now, this is why I'm helping you out a little bit. You have to watch season 6 and 7, episode 5, 9, 10, and in season 7, you gotta watch episode 3, 4, and 7. And whichever episode in there is the Red Wedding, you gotta watch that one too. You gotta watch the Red Wedding.
I heard the Red Wedding was a little violent.
Very, very much so. It was so, like, it was one of those that it'll be like, wow, that was kind of off the hook. And I think I put one of those episodes in there where the Hound and what's the big lady name that beat him up? Brianna Toth. That's a good fight. Hey, she's a Valkyrie.
See what you did to me. Now I got Melly Mel tweeting at me. Now I got Melly Mel tweeting at me saying, you know, way to check me on the name Big Hugh. Laugh out loud, it's Game of Thrones.
No, I'm trying to tell you, man, it's Game of Thrones. Like, you don't
John,
understand.
You don't know it's Game of Thrones.
I'm trying to tell you.
I this Mel's weekend, checking me on Twitter.
It's going to be so hyped. There's not going to be anybody on the streets Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Everybody's going to be in front of their television. And I advise for all you people that are somewhere else, and that aren't able to watch Game of Thrones when it comes on, stay off of social media. Because you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be on social media talking to everybody else that's talking about Game of Thrones. That's what I'm going to be doing. So I don't need you. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not need you coming for my neck talking about I'm spoiling it. And come Monday, I'm not going to spoil it much, because if you're a real Game of Thrones fan, you would have watched the episode by then. By 6 o'clock in the morning, you should have watched it. This is the most anticipated TV show since ever and ever. Because we had to wait a whole year to see it. We had to wait, 2 years to see it. So come on, man.
All right, I'm with you.
I'm just saying. Okay. And John, it's just, we could have bonded on a different level if you would have just tuned in. If you
give it a couple episodes. Well, we with Billions. You didn't go.
Ain't nobody trying to watch Billions like that. Ain't nobody trying to watch
Billions. Yeah, they are.
They ain't trying to watch that. Not like this. Not like this. And it's some neckiness,
too.
What
is Billions night? What is Billions night? I got to go dressed as Axe. I want money. You see the top of my Twitter?
What'd you say?
Just go to the top of my Twitter at the break.
Gotcha.
You got to see what I just... You just go to the top of my Twitter. Rob Tribble and BMAC, top of the hour on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.